There's a narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forged Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined tonight by Adam Camilleri.
Hello, hello, hello.
What's going on, man? Down under.
It's a beautiful day for 40K. Chapter Approved is out. The world is changing again.
It is. Okay. A lot, like volumes of point changes.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal amount of point changes. A lot of stuff, I think they're correct and that they got it right already. They don't need to change it. But a lot of stuff has gone down again and a lot of stuff that needed to.
Well, it's going to radically change what people take. You know, there have been units, and I'll go ahead and say it, obliterators. Obliterators sounded great on paper. They made it in right when the Codex hit, the Chaos Space Marine Codex hit. And then, you know, they kind of went away a little bit.
Especially when they got their little buff, when they got their buff in toughness and wounds and all that good stuff, and they got their new models, they kind of got brought up to a point where people were like, well, either I take one unit of three of them or I take zero of them. There was no in between.
Yeah. And they're great with Slaanesh, and now Slaanesh got even more stuff. Or sorry, Emperor's Children is what I mean, but you know what I'm talking about. The Chaos Space Marine Slaanesh buffs. They got a little bit even more, so the Psychic Awakening has been helping them. Now they've got a 20 point per model point reduction.
Yeah, well, that's pretty significant.
It's huge. I mean, let's think about what you could get for 60 points for a unit of three. You know, that's a unit of Chaos Space Marines if you're trying to get that. What's the Red Corsairs? Type stuff.
So it looks from what I can see, just like at base value, because I don't have the points in front of me. I'm running off what I've heard down the pipeline so far. It looks like Chaos Space Marines, like CSM, the book, that got a swathe of positive changes. But on the other side of things, it looks like Demons and even and T-Suns have both copped a bit of a whack, which I think is kind of fair. They have been absolutely dominant in the scene. I mean, for the better part of, I mean, the two most dominant players for the entirety of this season have both been playing pretty much the same list. It's been Plague Bearers with smite spamming T-Sun Demons and all sorts of deep striking bombs and things. And that's been hit quite considerably.
You bring up a good point, and that's one of the things we do focus on, is that any time that there's only one list that you can really play competitive out of a series of codexes, that it's worth looking at and maybe worth revising some things. And I think the Obliterators going from 115 down to 95 points a model is one of those things. I mean, that's, again, it's, you know, you talk about some things getting a little bit more expensive, but yeah, those points could be offset by reductions in other things. So, you know, it's a weird balance they're trying to strike.
A lot of the things that Plague Bearers did can now be replaced with other things. One thing I'll tell people to have a look at. Look at Beasts of Nurgle, guys. They're down 4 points. They're 30 points base now. And you get that's a five wound toughness five two save model. So that's five.
You mean two
that's
save?
Like six, has, that's 6 points.
Yeah, has the invulnerable save a five, and then a fellow pain. Yeah, and, so.
So it's 6 points per wound on that model. 6 points for a toughness five with two saves.
That's like now, guardsman
prices. Plague Bearer. Well, yeah, Plague Bearer is now 8 points for toughness four in two saves. So for 2 points less, you get that same wound, but it's got a better toughness and it's 2 points less. So if people wanted to start looking at those things, naturally you're losing the ability to stack all the negatives to hit on them, but you can still give them Miasma. You can still make them minus one, and you can still, Warp Surgeon for a 4+ invulnerable. So there's still plenty of synergy you can put there as well. And the same with the Plague Drones. Plague Drones have gone down the same 4 points as well. They're now 30, starting at 36 points. So there's plenty of meat on the bone there. It's just that archetype, that Plague Bearers insulating, smiting characters, that's been given a pretty big whack.
Yeah, I think so. Demon Prince with Wings went down by 15 points.
Yeah, but the T-Suns ones went up and the Death Guard ones stayed the same. Now, Death Guard ones staying the same, that's fine because they get access to the two saves. That's perfectly reasonable that they stay about the same. Maybe they should have gone down 5 points, but it's whatever. But the Chaos Space Marine ones going down 15 points, that's okay. That's no problems at all. But the T-Suns ones went up, and I think that's hurt them quite a lot. Mind you, they were ultra, ultra powerful.
Yeah, but see, that's exactly what we were talking about a couple episodes ago, where the same unit essentially could get a points change depending on how valuable it is to that particular codex with that rule set.
Yeah, very true.
I mean, I don't mind it. I'm saying, yes, if I was playing Thousand Suns, Demon Princes, and you know everything went up, I would be a little frustrated and figure out how to do it. But I'm saying I think that's a positive trend for the game to not have just necessarily template points when you start adjusting layers of rules on things.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, it just seemed very, very silly that a Plague Bearer, well, for a long time, a Plague Bearer and a Demonette were the same points. Now, Demonette's gone down to 6 and a Plague Bearer has gone up to 8. And that seems a lot more reasonable than them both being 7. When you looked at those next to each other, you were like, ugh, what am I? Oh, geez.
Well, yeah, you had to think in the beginning of the addition, you know, the points and power levels were all the same. You know, it was supposed to be this interchangeable thing. You want a consistency in the troop section of an army. I guess I'm thinking about like for just wrapping your head around as like a new player trying to, you know, get into the game. And, you know, and now they realize that maybe that's not so much of a concern and balance.
Yeah, well, there's a very large established player base for the game now. And I do empathize and even sympathize with people trying to start the game now. It is, well, it's close to the complexity of trying to get into 7th edition 40K, where you needed 5 books to play one army and whatnot. And now you need all this extra knowledge to play your one faction. And so I do think there is quite a need for consolidation of rules going forward, especially with the new Psychic Awakening stuff being coming out as well. So now to play my army, I need essentially 2 codexes plus chapter approved plus any FAQs. It's the bloat is a very real thing. They need to do that. They need to do that subscription service. Just let me pay $10 a month and just give me access to all the new rules as they come out in one document. Everyone would lose their minds.
Yeah. Well,
everyone would lose their absolute minds.
The complexity, at least on like how to build a list, is getting a little bit streamlined, I think, with these two new chapter approved books. Like all the rules, everything that's about match play and stuff is in the chapter approved 2019. And then you've got this separate, a little bit more accessible, easy to carry around list of points in its own book.
What are some other factions you saw got significant changes?
Well, I mean, we were talking about demons. We keep talking about them. Things like Bellicor dropped 80 points. He's now 200 flat.
Seriously?
Points. Yeah.
Whew. Nice. He's got one of the. He has one of the best combat weapons in the game. It's minus. It's one of the only ones with a rend of 5.
Bloodthirster. All the Bloodthirsters get a point drop.
Well, I think every single Greater Demon got a point drop between. Well, so Kairos went down 35. Lord of Change went down 20. Keeper of Secrets went down 30. Keeper of Secrets at 210 points is actually pretty cheap now.
Great Unclean ones, I mean, go down pretty big chunk.
Really?
Yeah. So the Great Unclean one, like with the Bile Sword and the Bile Blade, 240 points.
Jeez.
That's a big drop. Doomsday Bell and Plague Flail, 260 points. I mean, these are things that were, in my opinion, the Great and Clean one could be playable. It pushes them out with the more attractive things like the list we were talking about. But now with a big point discount, I mean, you really are getting that guy. I think that's a good value buy for points.
Yeah, I agree. What other stuff's got? Screamers have gone down by 5 points, starting at 23. That's not bad. I mean, there's a lot of, unfortunately, I don't think Blood Crushers are still 40 points a model. I think that's too much. They could go down quite a bit more.
Fiends, I can't tell you the last time I've seen a Blood Crusher.
Sixth edition was the last time I saw a Blood Crusher.
Yeah,
Fiends at 37 points start looking pretty attractive though, because they have some special rules that are pretty significant now. The Shadows in the Warp, they essentially have a minus one to casting within, I think it's 6 or 12 inches. And yeah, the no fallback within 1. So all these people are like, there's all these ways to pay CP to make people have a chance at not fallback. Fiends, do you not have fly? You can't fall back. Too bad, so sad. No yes, no buts, no rolling a 2+ or a 4+. Just bang, bada bing, bada boom. Love it.
Things like Flamers, 8-point drop per model.
Yes, Flamers at 20 points. Flamers are actually still decent, like, because you could deep strike them and shoot them off the deep strike, because I think they've got 9-inch Flamers. And their Flamers are pistol as well. So I had a friend who used to deep strike them down, make sure he got the 9-inch charge, and then wrap off something and then flame it to death in the opponent's turn and got another charge. And he did that to great effect due to that pistol rule.
One of the things that doesn't often get spoken about, but summoning is a factor, or could be a factor sometimes if you choose to play into that strategy. And I've, no lie, summoned Soul Grinders before.
But have you ever summoned a Plague Hulk?
I haven't. But the Soul, I think, does it get the demonic rule? It probably does at this point, but.
It does. That was a meme. I shoutcasted a tournament called RatCon, where a good friend of mine, Matt Morisoli, who won the ITC in Australia last year, he summoned a Plague Hulk, just like summer to play Cog, and everyone just thought it was the funniest thing ever.
It's so
firstly, no one had seen
annoying.
A play Cog in however long.
When
he's playing against Jet.
You situationally realize that you need a Soul Grinder, or in his case, a Plague Hulk, and you can dump it on the table, and your opponent may not have a good answer for it?
Well, yeah, because he was playing against Deathwatch. So Deathwatch versus Demon is horrific, because they wound everything on a 2+, and then just all you've got is you don't have an armor save, you just got your 5+ invulnerable save. So they just shred through demons. So he's like, what's summon that's not a demon? He's like, a Plague Hulk. He just summons his Plague Hulk down. And all of a sudden, the Death Watch are wounding more on sixes. So it was actually really, really clever. But it's just become a bit of a meme now. So pretty funny.
Well, with
you should do it at some point.
Put it in your reserve points. I mean, I know you got to worry about the power level and that kind of stuff. But being able to get some of these things on the table with the summoning mechanic, I think it bears looking into if you're playing the evil guys.
Yeah.
But summoning is one of those things, having reserve points. I mean, think about it. Pink Horrors. Pink Horrors, I think, they're the same. They're 7 points model.
Yeah, I think Pink Horrors stay the same. DMS stay the same. Bloodletters stay the same. I think that's all good. One of the other ones that's actually funnily relevant for demons is Zangors went up another one as well. So Zangors and Plague Bearers both went up by a point. Now, Zangors aren't in the demons thing, but they're essentially were part of the demons soup list. And I know a lot of players like to take the
flying ones.
Take them because... Yeah, well, just the Zangor's troop slot, because you can buff them to be quite relevant in exchange for Plague Bearers. Like, if you only want to take one unit of Plague Bearers, or maybe one unit and a small unit, and then take a unit of Zangors, those Zangors in a pinch can chop out for the Plague Bearers, because you can make them -1 to hit, same 4+ invulnerable save, the same toughness 4. So you can make them a nice little chop out in exchange, and they are... They kill a lot better than Plague Bearers. They butcher. They absolutely shred.
Yeah, but they come with 2 base attacks.
Yeah, 2 base, very buffable. And they got Rend of 1 as well, which is very nice.
Okay, that matters.
Mm.
So demons, I think it's easy to look at the Plague Bearers and say that, yeah, they took a big hit, but I think there's a lot of other value of stuff in. Now, I think horrors, pink horrors would probably be the way to go when you're trying to fill out your slot. They've got some play in them. So, you know, let's say, you know, you want to bring down your pink horrors, you summon them, or you teleport them on the table with the incursion, and you go to charge someone, and then you lose a couple of pink horrors in Overwatch, and then you spawn your blue horrors closer to the enemy, reducing your charge range.
I don't think anybody can be negative about the changes to demons. They had literally one model, one unit in their entire faction range has gone up in points.
It changes how people are currently playing it, and I can sympathize with that.
Yeah, but everything else went down. So surely no one can say it's not a net gain.
Well, no, I do. Anytime we've seen point changes, there's typically been something else where those points are just shifted to something else. You know, like something else becomes a little bit more attractive, or something you were already taking got lowered, and so the points went over there instead, or from there to the other thing that you were taking.
Yeah. What else should we talk about? Which what's next?
Man, what isn't there? Let's talk about Baneblades. Who doesn't like Baneblades?
Yes. Yeah, I know. Well, so I ran a triple Baneblade list for quite a while, and I wasn't very... it wasn't very fun to play for some people, but just putting it on the board, you're just like, ha, I've got my Baneblades. It was a very fun time. You felt like you felt cool. Anyway, like 3 of their variants have gone down by 40 points. So the Baneblade, the Banehammer, and the Banesword. But going down by 40 points is pretty significant. That lines them up a lot better with Knights, but not with Crusaders. Crusaders are still quite a bit more expensive, and that's an interesting point of difference. So Crusaders have a similar damage output to a Baneblade. Maybe Baneblade has a little bit more due to all the heavy bolters. But the Crusaders is worth like about 100 more points now than a Baneblade. And that's surprising to me. I mean, the only real massive point of difference stat-line-wise, they're both tough to say, got about this comparable amount of wounds. The Baneblade has 2 more wounds, but the Knight has an invuln save, and the Knight hits on a 3+. But the 40 points difference, it's huge.
I think the hitting on 3+ with a BS, though, is kind of deceptive, because you can buff things up with the guard. I mean, you can get rerolls and stuff that are a little bit more accessible than maybe a knight is.
Hmm. Well, yeah, so like, you know, you had the Cadian stratagem, overlapping fuels of fire. You also have the Vestroian stratagem to get +1s to hit. You also have a lot of ways of getting reroll once to hit and to wound, but, you know, by the Relic of Lost Cadia. And also, you're just a hella fun against Chaos.
I only play Catechin, so, you know, I got Harker, and we were better at loading the guns.
Yeah, Harker as well. And also the Catachans. Well, that's another thing as well. All the guards' traits, they all have something to benefit Baneblades in them. Like Talan, you get to move in advance and shoot all your weapons as if they're assault weapons. That's incredible. And then you charge, you pay 2 CP, hit up 2s in combat. It's hilarious. Vestroians plus 6 inches range. Cadians, all sorts of crazy stuff.
It's been a while since we've seen the Shadow Swords on the table.
Yeah, they haven't gotten any worse in the meta. I mean, they might not have gotten any better either. But
they haven't gotten any better. But I think where you put your points in that list has changed to maybe be, you know, to move away from them. But now with a reduction in some of these other things, with all the like guns and stuff, especially the assault things, like you can put on the Baneblade, you can put a bunch of flamers on things, getting rid of people's minus ones to hit, making yourself super annoying to charge.
I used to run a Hellhammer with full set of sponsons or with heavy flamers. So it'd have 8d6 heavy flamer shots if you ever tried to charge it. It was actually ridiculous. And I was playing that when the Kraken Steelers were a thing. And the Kraken's Gene Steelers couldn't charge yet. They actually just could not charge that Hellhammer. They would actually all die. All 20 of them would just get picked up. It was a good time to be alive, guys. It was the golden age of the guard tanks. I think they've fallen off in popularity just due to the power increases for things like tank commanders, Lehman Russ's, the artillery company. Those things going up a notch in efficiency and in power and output has meant that though having those big tanks you can't hide gives less value than having things that you can have there for 6 turns that consistently give you output. They don't have the explosive power that they do, mind, but like you can get almost, you used to be able to get 2.5 to 3 tank commanders for the price of 1 Baneblade. Those 3 tank commanders had more toughness 8 wounds. They could be more, they could sit on more objectives. They essentially put out the same or more firepower. They could order themselves. They were self-supportive, things like that. So I think that's why we saw the big boys drop off. But man, I'd be really keen to see like just one comeback, and then you just give it all your buffs. You give it a -1 to hit, +1 save, try and get it in cover, and then just troll, have some fun.
So mortars got a little bit more expensive, but last cannons got a little bit less expensive. Last cannons have dropped 5 points per cannon.
What did, sorry?
Last cannons.
Ooh.
So last cannons being 15 points a last cannon now instead of 20. When you're putting it on a heavy squad, that's a pretty significant percentage of points.
Hmm.
Like a heavy weapon squad that you pay dirt nothing for, putting a last cannon on the heavy weapon squad, you know, it makes it seem like, man, I'm investing so much war gear points, in this unit, and now, you know, 5 points less per model gives you 15 points back in the squad.
Which one of the did any of the ones with transport capacity go down in points? I've got a feeling the Banehammer has a transport capacity.
Which one is the Banehammer? That's the flamer one, isn't it?
So the Hellhammer is the one. Yeah. The Bane sword is the one with the quake cannon, so that's not that one.
Banehammer has a 10 models can fire from that transport.
Ooh, so and what's the transport capacity? Is only 10 models?
Up to 10 models being transported can fire, so how many can it hold?
I think it can hold up to 15 or 25.
Can hold up to 25 infantry models.
Nice.
Heavy weapons teams take up 2 slots.
Yeah, so you could put one heavy weapons team firing out of that. So that thing's already dropped down.
As 10 models can fire. So you could technically put 10 heavy weapons teams in here and 10 last cannons can fire.
So yeah, you could put, is it 6 heavy weapons teams? 6 times 3 is 21?
I'm sorry, 10 heavy weapons
18,
things.
18, yeah, yeah.
So 3, you know, 3 spots of 9 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, 3 spots of 3 for 9 models.
Yeah, and then you could choose which one to shoot out if you wanted to completely pack it out. Like, I don't know, if you need more heavy bolters, you have some heavy bolters in there, they shoot out that turn. The buzz cannons need to shoot out, they shoot out that turn, or a mixture thereof. And yeah, you're saving quite a lot of points there because, the last cannons all went down 5, so it's just 3 last cannons in there. That's 15 points savings, plus on top of the 40 already savings. So that's 55 points saved on that little package. On top of that, Astropaths went down 11 points. So they're back to where they were. They were index points. I think they're down to 15 points per model without the stave, which is very cheap. So like for 22 points, you got both your psyche powers for that Banehammer. You've got fully ticked out with all the
plus goodness. Plus 1 armor, worth, -1 to hit.
One to hit, you know, it's worth 40 less points. You stick some heavy weapons squads in there that are worth less points. All of a sudden, you know, you're not working with nothing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. Speaking quickly about things, things in things and firing, fortifications change a little bit. So in Chapter Approved 2019 in the actual book, there's new data slates for the fortifications. Most of them that could hold units can hold up to two units now, whereas before they could only hold one. They could hold like a one infantry unit that had a certain amount of models plus a character, and now they can hold up to two infantry units for things like bastions.
That's actually really good. That's quite good for the game. And for a long time, fortifications have been so maligned, so almost joke-worthy in the fact that they offer so little and they take so much from your army, that being like one of your, a whole detachment to just field one. Why they haven't rolled a fortification slot into the battalion or the brigade still boggles my brain, because it feels like if you've got slots for flyers, probably you should have one basic detachment should at least have a slot for a fortification.
See, it's thematic. You could have your Sky Shield landing pad, your Valkyrie, and then your dudes in a brigade or in a
battalion. Makes all the sense. Or, you know, you have your battalion and you have your Aegis defense line to go along, or your bunker with your Supreme Command for your HQs to sit in. Well, that stuff, it makes thematic sense, but for some reason just GW just hasn't really let that be activated, the fortifications become a real actual legitimate part of the game. I see them here and there. Like, I think Alex Fennell brought a bastion to ETC this year, and he had a bunch of Cataphron destroyers sitting in it, and that was a good use for it. But that was in an ad mech and a knight army that didn't need a bunch of CP. So, but things like guard need CP. Guard are thirsty. Space Marines are thirsty on CP as well. Same as orcs. Same as a lot of the other factions that could actually make legitimate use out of it. Like GSC need to be able to hide like a key unit at the start of the game if they go second. They don't want to get a shot. You know, they could two CP and just move one of their blips into a bastion if they had the thing. But they can't afford the detachment slot because they need as many CP as they can get. So that trade has always just seemed like not good enough for me.
I see what your point, and that plays out with every army list you're ever going to see. Like, you, I think you just described the one instance of one of these fortifications being used competitively within the last year. There was kind of a rash of folks that were last year were using the Aquila strong point or something for its ward shields and stuff. But
I had a gentleman down here who tried using two of those, the Vortex missile Aquila strong points on the list.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny. He was trying to use them alongside, rapier batteries, because I had the two little space marines that had come along with the rapier battery.
Yeah.
And they can't be targeted. So you deploy, if it was, I think it was a self-placed objectives, this one, ETC style. So you place your own objectives at the start of the game. And so you just place your objectives behind the fortification, and then you've got these two little space marines sitting on an objective you can't shoot. They're not characters, so you can't actually shoot a sniper at them because they're not characters. And they're not, but they can't be targeted unless they're the closest target. So they had essentially these two little space marine gunners, completely untargetable on an objective behind a strong point. It was pretty funny. It actually still didn't end up being very good because people couldn't just, like, the game is so killer, you can just kill the strong points. And they don't actually do that much damage because they hit on fives. But it was a funny exercise to try and figure out what he was doing. Because we sat there looking at it, we're like, huh? What's the, what, huh? And we're like, oh, jeez. So I almost swore there, Paul, but I didn't.
Yeah,
I almost did, guys.
You were close.
I'm getting better.
You did mention the ad mech stuff with Cataphron. You know, breachers and destroyers. Cataphron destroyers in the Codex are 35 points. In the Chapter Approved, they are 15 points.
Wow, that's... So what's that a reduction of?
20 points.
on destroyers?
Cataphron just... Yep, destroyers.
Wow.
Breachers also took a reduction by 15 points.
See, I don't think that's... That can't be true on the breaches. That's got to be points from, they're just updating the points and rolling them over from the last Chapter Approved, because currently breaches are 30 points a model. And if you're saying they've gone down another 15 points, they'd be 15 points a model. And that's, it can't possibly.
Well, okay. No, so what's the weapon on the breachers?
Heavy arc rifle.
Arc rifle is 6 points.
Yeah.
Now they have two weapons, right? They've got the.
And they got the claw or the fist.
Yep. So let's look at that. Let me bring up what they get. So what the total cost is.
Yeah, the breaches are already amazing value. They're already incredibly good for what you get for your points. I think it's 31 or 32 points for them to come with the power fist. So they get a strength 10 power fist with three attacks each. And they hit on five. It doesn't matter. You still get one hit per dude. And then you can buff that plus the hit in many ways. They're toughness 5 with 3 wounds and a 3+ armor save. Stygies make them -1 to the hit. Shroudsun makes them a 2+ armor. And they're a troops choice. They're like one of they are literally the hardest to kill troops choice in the game, bar maybe a you know Death Watch veterans. And for 30 points a model, if you're telling me they went down another 15 points, no, wow.
No, the preachers are 20 points. The arc rifle is the heavy arc rifle is 6 points, and then the arc claw is 4. So they're 30 points a model.
They're 30 points. Sweet. Cool. Ooh, baby, you are. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna call my local G-Dub. Baby,
my
how many
apologies. You did not mean to cause alarm.
Right, you put them on the shelf. You hide them. I'll be right there. I was gonna hang up on you, Paul. I was gonna be off. I was gonna be gone. LVO. Here we come.
Here we come. No, they're okay.
Nothing but breaches.
Business as usual with them.
So another one that I'm happy about, Infiltrators and Rustalkers. So Infiltrators went down by 3 points, Rustalkers down by 4 points. Those are some of my favorite models in the entire Games Workshop range, and they have gotten so bad in the current edition. Infiltrators have some play, but that's only really due to the Wrath of Mars strategy, able to pop up 9 inches away with all that DACA.
You can get 10-15 mortal wounds out of that easy.
Yeah, the Rustalkers have just been kind of just awful for their points. Now I think they're 14 or 16 points a model, and you know for two wounds with a 4-up save, like that's not horrific. But the ones that I find are looking a bit better is the Electro Priests. So I think both versions of Electro Priests are down by 2 points, or it might just be the jazz hand guys.
The Fulgurite Electro Priest, 14 points a model.
Yeah, that's pretty relevant. Like the amount of DACA they put out. That's the 3-shot Tesla, at strength 5.
Yeah, and then the Corpus Scari Electro Priests are 12 points a model.
Okay.
That's without war gear. That's just the base cost.
I'm not sure they do pay for. Well, I don't know. I don't think the Jazz Hand guys pay for war gear. I'm pretty sure the staves on the Fulgurites cost points, I think. But I'm not sure about that either. But the Jazz Hands boys.
The Electro Leech stave is 0 points. The Electrostatic gauntlets are 0 points.
Yeah. Okay. So they're 12 and 14 points each. That's pretty good. Because you can take a unit of 20 of those guys. Yeah.
Yep. Up to 20. Yep.
Whew. So a unit of 20 of those dudes, you make them Lucius and put them in reserve, the Jazz Hands boys, and you deep strike them down. They've got 18-inch range, assault 3, and every 6 is 2 extra hits. So that's 60 strength 5 shots coming from that unit of 20 guys. You can pay some CP to make them hit better and give them reroll once to hit from canicles. That is a lot of death. That is a fun buff of death.
And they're cool models.
Yeah, and the models are gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, that's I know we're talking about points, whatever, but when you can put a cool, like, it's kind of a shame they haven't been on the tabletop more often.
Mm. Well, it is. It's an absolute bonus when a good looking model is well pointed and actually functions on the tabletop. And just the thematic elements that, you know, all that's obvious have in our hearts when they play out on the table exactly how we wish they would. Like, it just makes for a good world. You know, when The Simpsons, where the ethnicities of the world are dancing around in the sunshine when they're thinking about a world without lawyers, that is what 40K would be like if everything was good. Everything was just balanced, everyone was happy, everyone would just be dancing in the sunshine playing 40K. It'd be a little bit gross, guys, but we would be happy.
Let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and talk about Grey Knights.
Oof, yes, please.
All right, see you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back. Still got Adam here.
I am still here.
when you make it over here to the US?
So I'm flying out on the 31st of December, which means I'm living in future land. So it means I'm still landing on the 31st of December. But I'm landing in Seattle at 10 o'clock at night. On New Year's Eve. So that's going to be interesting.
Oh, man. I'm going to have a party in the airport.
Yeah, walking off the plane on New Year's Eve in a foreign country in the middle of winter. That's not how I would have lined things up. But, man, the price difference from Australia between flying out on the 31st and flying out on the 1st was ridiculous. At one point, it was $600 difference fly out. Like within 8 hours of each other. Yeah, it was. So I was just like, well, I guess I'm going a day early, aren't I? Oh, I swore. No. I was trying so hard. One day.
Yep, we'll get there.
But yeah, Yeah, but the difference was pretty crazy. Funnily enough, the flights home didn't change at all. No matter what day I was flying home, it was about just under $1,000 to fly from Vegas back to Australia. Didn't matter what day, didn't matter what time. I think that someone was telling me that's something that happens in Vegas. They want to make it as appealing for people to fly there as much as possible because it's apparently it's very hard to get there otherwise. You pretty much just have to drive from LA if you want to go anywhere apart from a plane.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, I've only traveled to there via plane, so...
Yeah, so I guess that's just because it's in the middle of the desert. They want to make it as attractive to go there as possible, so they always keep the flights pretty reasonable.
I now have a Chapter Approved 2018 pulled up and said just the codexes we were looking at. So I do apologize for any heartache and heartburn that I may have caused for anybody in the last segment.
That's all good.
But we're juggling books. We're juggling books.
Yeah, and there's so much to juggle, and you got to look at this one. You got to look at the codex, and you got to look at the book to see how much it's changed, and you got to reference into that one and look at this one. And it gets pretty messy, especially we haven't scripted this. We're just going where the crow flies. So, yeah,
that's the secret. We just start talking and hit the record button.
Yeah, just start yakking. I'm just looking at knights, to be honest, and it looks like the Castellan's gone down 50 points.
We promised a gray knights.
Oh, of course. Sorry. Sorry to
you
diverge.
Are so close. Very nice to the Knights.
Let's do it. I got a half right, mate.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, you get a point. You get a point. But so actual dudes came down. Strike squad guys came down to a base 14 points a model, which puts them at 17 points total for like the Storm Bolter and the a Nemesis Force Albert or something, if that's what you want.
Yeah, so it's 17 points a model. It's the same as the Primaris Marine, isn't it? Primaris 17 points a model.
17. The Intercessors are 17 points apiece.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one less wound, which is significant. But it's gonna the Strike Marines come with two attacks base, or they come with one attack base, don't you? But you give them the two Falchions, and they get the second attack.
I believe they're one attack base, but they get the psychic power and a Storm Bolter as a base. Yeah.
Thing. And their one attack is a whole lot better than
Intercessor attack. D3 damage with neg two, neg three save.
Yeah, neg two. And with the halberd to give you plus one strength so you can be strength five minus two D3 damage with one attack. That's fine. And they got shock assault now as well. So two attacks on the charge or if charged. On top of that, they come with the ability to put out a psychic power. They can self buff. They can self teleport. They get deep strike for free. I believe they just get deep strike for free.
I think they have to pay CP for some stuff here. Let me just, I'll break it up.
Yeah, you can pay CP the Deep Strike Land Raiders and stuff, but I think the Strike means Deep Strike for free. And then on top of that, they just come with a Storm Bolter. So I think they start at, 14 base, and you pay one point for the Force Weapon and 2 points for the Storm Bolter.
That's it, yep.
They get you to 17. Look, for 17 points, like they're actually looking, they might still be a little bit over. They could have gone down one more point, but that's splitting hairs. They're the best they've ever been, certainly in this edition. I think they started with 23 points.
It was 25, 1,000 points apiece or something like that. You had to play with two models, one single wound models.
Hooray!
I think the trick with power armor, they're pushing it. I mean, that's we now have some rules that do it, but what keeps them like on the table competitive in 40K is that are those two wounds. I mean, I'm not saying that every Grey Knight needs to be, Primaris, and we know that's coming eventually, I'm sure, right? But
GW actually said they're not going to get Primaris Grey Knights. They actually said that. I'm not sure if that was about a year ago, but that might have just been means that Grey Knights wasn't going to get any ones in this release. Like, they weren't going to get the Vanguard Marines, the Phobos, stuff like that. Which makes sense. It doesn't quite make sense that they'd have those guys, but it does make sense that they have intercessors, that have aggressors, they have things like that. I think it might be something to do with the fact that we've got a whole bespoke range of models. Like a Grey Knight is a very distinctive looking model compared to a regular Space Marine. Like the stance is a lot more dynamic. The filigree and the gorgets and all the shape of the helmets and stuff. So them creating a whole new range of Primaris Marines just for Grey Knights might not be that financially viable for them.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, that of course plays a role into this kind of stuff. I just meant that eventually we'll have the larger scale Marines. They may not call them Primaris, But they'll be
They'll true scale them at some point. Yeah, for sure. And they have to do that. Otherwise, it's just the world's just going to leave them behind, as if because like the game is left behind.
Well, I mean, right now we've got the size comparison to once you get into that you know, once you get supersized, you get an extra wound, and I think that these guys need an extra wound. If they had an extra wound for 17 points on the basic troop for what they have, they would be phenomenal. And I mean, like takeable, they would be playable.
I think they're bordering on playable at the moment. Like they're on the cusp. Like if they get some decent stuff from Psychic Awakening, I think they will be playable. They like a battalion of Grey Knights will actually be a thing. Man. At the moment, there's no reason to take them over. There's actually no reason to take them over Intercessors.
Like, we don't know what's coming for Psychic Awakening. I guarantee you that. But let's say, what is this like right now? What does the actual points equate to? If I'm getting my squad of five is 15 points less than it used to be, and I've got five squads of five. What is that? I don't know, 70. I don't know, like 80 some point. I don't know. I can't add right now.
Yeah. So 50-30. So yeah, it'd be 75 points for five squads of five.
So reduction. Okay.
Buys you an apothecary. Apothecary 75 points. Straight up, apothecary 75 points done.
You got to spend. It buys you an apothecary. You're right. You're close with the apothecary, or you got one extra squad of things. Are you scared of seeing one extra squad of strikes dudes on the other side of the table?
Yeah. No, I figure if you can handle 25, you can handle 30.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's a thing. If you're equipped to handle Marines. Here's probably where the biggest issue is. If people are tooling up to handle Codex Space Marines, Grey Knights are not going to be a problem. Yeah. Like, I'm tooling up to tackle something far more potent and resilient than these guys are. Even though their damage output's Grey Knights' damage output has always been respectable. The problem has been they're just nowhere near as resilient enough for their points cost. Because like there's nothing. Stormbolter profile has been a cornerstone of the game since the 8th edition got launched.
I love Stormbolters. I mean,
they're fantastic.
Like on those impulsors and stuff, I feel like I'm committing a crime when I'm rolling out Stormbolter shots.
Yeah, it's like I shouldn't have these. These are just like extra, and I just have them for free. Lovely.
So what do you take? What do you then spend those extra points you just got in a Grey Knight list? I mean, do you invest in a Land Raider?
So there's, I think the Nemesis Grandmaster, the Grandmaster in Nemesis Dreadnought armor. I hear he's gone down significantly.
By 20 points. Yeah. His base cost has gone down. So that is good because he's already good. He is actually the superstar of the Codex.
Has the heavy Psy Cannon or the heavy Silencer or the Fist gone down at all, or the Incinerator?
Heavy Psy Cannon is 24 points.
I'll get up the Codex actually, so we can cross-reference this. I'll mind you, the Codex is
as it was in 2018. So it's the heavy side cannon has not changed.
Has not changed. No. And what about the Silencer or the Fists? Because that's pretty much the standard loadout.
The Fists Gatling are pretty good. Silencer is 20 points. I don't think that's changed. Well, it might have changed.
Surely the Gatling Silencer wasn't more important, more points than the heavy side cannon though.
It's 20 points. The Gatling Silencer is pretty good. Just because for the volume of shots. It's only strength 4?
It's only strength 4, but it's D3 damage, and you get 12 shots.
Yep, and you're rerolling because you're the Grandmaster most of the time to hit. Yeah.
So he's gone down 20 points just on the chassis.
Yep.
So what does that put him at now? It puts him around the 200 mark, I believe. And his firepower is quite relevant. Like D3, the D3 damage on the Gatling Silencers and the flat 2 damage, is a flat 2 damage on the heavy Psy Cannon. They all get pretty good return from what you're facing in the meta at the moment. Like the Gatling Silencer, you put Astral Aim on it, that thing is actually really, really good at killing killing shield drones, because the D3 damage offsets the Feel No Pain. And you put Astral Aim on him, he gets to shoot into cover where people, you know, they'll try and hide their drones from you by putting them out of line of sight. Your Astral Aim, your Grandmaster, and your 12 shots, you can pick up half a squad of shield drones. That's pretty good. And then you put your strength 7 shots from your Psy Cannon into something more relevant. But let's just see what his points are at the moment. Bah, bah, bah. I've got a Grey Knight list I was playing around with. So it's 205, and then I think that's just with the two Dread Fists, which are, so it's 35 points for two Dread Fists.
And then, 15 for two Dread Fists and now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So for both, it's just 15. So that's 20 points down. Also, the heavy Psy Cannon was 24 points in my Battle Scribe.
24 points here. Yep.
Yep. So he is. So if that's correct,
the Gatling Silencer down. That we were questioning.
So right now he's 249 points. If he's gone down to 35 points, so that's 15 points on the fist and 20 points on the chassis, at 215 points, he's not bad. He's comparable. So he's around the same points as Pask or a tank commander with a battle cannon. He's got comparable damage output from range, and he's a lot more killy in combat. Plus, he's technically got a better armor save, but he's got worse. He's got the same wounds. He's toughness 6 versus toughness 8, but they have a 3+. He has a 2+, and he has an invuln. So I think he's not terrible.
And he can teleport down. He can.
He self buffs. He smites. He's quite flexible. The problem is there's a lot of things out now, like in the game at the moment, that will just shred him if he's left out in the open. Like if you can't give the guy...
you don't have to leave him out in the open. You could technically make him your warlord and give him reroll charge as his warlord trait and come down like supreme command. You beam down all three of them at the one time. He's the warlord. They charge, getting rerolls, and then he charges himself getting rerolls.
Well, here's another saucy morsel that hopefully is coming down the pipeline. So a lot of people don't know that that Grey Knights have access to chaplains. Grey Knights have chaplains. There's a Grey Knight chaplain in their codex, in their index, in their everything. So if they get if Grey Knights get litanies, and you have that +1 to wound to the closest target on your paladin unit, or your nemesis, Dread Knight, or if you get the +2 to charge, and then you have first to the fray, so you have this deep strike bomb of a bunch of strike squads, nemesis, Dread Knights, paladins, terminators, or whatever, they come down, and then they have a 7-inch rerollable charge because of that litany from the chaplain. That's pretty good on mass, guys. You could have like half your army charging turn 2 with a 7 rerollable. That's not terrible. That's nothing to cry about. That's pretty good.
Bring on the Supreme Command, 2 Nemesis Dread Knights, and a chaplain. And you are right. I have never, ever taken a chaplain in a Grey Knight army.
Yeah, why would you? What are they offering? Like, they're not actually bringing anything to the table.
I've taken Tech Marines. Because
they're cheap as chips. Yeah.
No, the Tech Marines used to be stout. Like in 5th edition, they were like real stout.
Why was that? Because they should give them like just tons of different war gear. They're very flexible.
Yeah.
Put them on a bike.
Yeah. No, you just walk them around. You walk around with the paladins and they would. I forget exactly what the secret sauce was, but it was like it gave a lot of punch to the unit and you could dump off wounds. I mean, it was a whole lot of stuff.
Speaking of paladins, they went down a couple of points, didn't they?
Paladin base model is 41 now, which I think is down 6 points.
That's good. I mean, I'm not sure if that takes them up to the upper echelons of competitive play, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
Well,
and did anything else go down for them? Did silencers or side cannons or...
The silencer is 4 points, which I think is the same. Side cannon on a Terminator is 7 points.
So right now, it's 49 points. For a paladin with a sword and a stormbolter. So you're saying they're 41 points.
The side cannons, the side cannons for the Terminators did drop a little bit. They're down 7 points from 11.
Ooh, that's not insignificant. But did the silencers go down at all?
Silencer for a Terminator was 8 points, and now it's 4.
Ah, so they've halved in points.
Yeah.
There you go. That's actually pretty cool. So
that's also D3 damage. I mean, it's strength 4, 6 shots.
Strength 4. Yeah, 6 shots, D3 damage. And you can buff those, of course, with their overcosted stratagems. I think that's the biggest point of difference with the Grey Knights is that they only have 2 pages of stratagems. And the ones that they have that would be good under normal circumstances cost like 1 more CP than they should. But then they've got one that costs 1 less than they should. So the one where their characters fight on death costs 1 CP, whereas everyone else costs 2.
Yeah, only in death to Zudian or whatever. So
yeah. But then all the damage enhancing ones that they have that would be cornerstones for other codexes, the veteran, like Veterans of the Long War or Weapons from the Dark Age, things that just dramatically enhance your damage output that you would build a unit or a list around, like double shooting Slaanesh stuff, like things you'd build a shooting unit around. But all the stuff, like it's 2 points to give your silencers like a rend and +1 strength, it's 2 CP to give your bolters a rend and +1 strength. Those things, like one of those should be 2 CP, maybe. So, and the other one should be 1 CP. Like, it should be 2 CP on your nemesis, like Dread Knights, to give them better, because they've got a lot more damage output. But just making Storm Bolters like slightly better for 2 CP. It's just, especially, it was never sustainable in a list that needed so many points invested just to get a couple of CP. Like when you had to take like 500 points just to fill out your battalion worth of troops. It just was not cost effective to use any of those stratagems. Now it might be, especially with Psychic Awakening as well. And the rumors being from the playtesters that Grey Knights get more from Psychic Awakening than any other codex, and that might just be relative to where they are at the moment. You're starting at the bottom, everything.
Blood Angels got a pretty good bump, so.
Oh, they totally did, didn't they?
That would be ambitious.
You'd be a happy, happy boy.
Oh, I'd love
it. Happy boy with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about putting 30 Sanguinary Guard on the table.
And how awesome would that look? 30 Sanguard on the table, and you're actually scared, like legitimately be scared of that. Because it used to be, oh, I saw Sanguard.
They destroy Centurions. And you can see
they are butchers, man. They are absolute butchers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to derail us, but I mean, I'm really excited about it, and there's lots of potential in the army. So I mean, Psychic Awakening is being pushed further than I thought it was going to be. It's further than Vigilus and stuff. I mean, I really thought that Vigilus was going to be the peak of where we would see some additional stratagems here and there or formation and stuff, but this has turned out to be way cooler.
Yeah, well, it seems like they've almost ditched the formation kind of strategy with the game.
Who knows?
I thought that. And it looks like they've gone more to just a fundamental, like, semi-rewrite of codexes on the fly, which I like better. I think it's more impactful, and it adds more flavor to the factions and lists that need it.
Yeah, I think this is cooler. This approach to it is way cooler than they've ever done before.
It's way more thematic. It adds a lot more flavor. But the specialist attachments just seem like a little patch fix or a little Band-Aid for a lot of the factions that needed actual enhancements.
Yeah. So, I mean, back on the topic of Grey Knights, I think that you want to pay that troop tax as minimally as possible. I think you don't want to take five, strike squads. You want to take three or two or even one, if you do it that, or none. You want to go with a formation a detachment that doesn't need any troops, and because the paladins paladins are pretty stout. What are they? Three wounds apiece?
Yeah, three wounds, two plus saves, toughness four. They're very killing. They start with two attacks, go up to three, drop assault. They hit ferociously hard. You give them Hammer Hand and Halberds, they'll pull down a knight in a turn. The sergeant has three attacks base. He hits on twos. So you give that guy a Thunder Hammer, he hits on threes with there'll be four Thunder Hammer attacks on the charge. That's very relevant.
Yeah, and if you're going to be near the Grandmaster, because I think that, I mean, what we just talked about, two Grandmasters and a Chaplain, is probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah, well, maybe you drop one of the Grandmasters down to one of their special characters, because their characters are still quite good. Drago is still a beat stick and a half, and Voldus is actually quite good. One thing that I will point out to you, pretty much across the board from what I can see, characters, special characters, have gone down in points.
The Grey Knights are the same.
Exactly. I was about to say, the Grey Knights are the only ones who have not changed. And I'm sorry, Grey Knight players, it's a bit crap. Like Dante, so Mephiston, they gave Mephiston an extra attack and an extra wound and all these bunch of new rules and still dropped him by 15 points.
I don't know if you're expecting me to complain about that.
That's freaking amazing, man. It's absolutely amazing. Dante's down 15 points.
When we were talking about the total points of the Dreadknight Grandmaster, we didn't talk about the teleporter. The teleporter is 10 points.
Nice.
I mean,
what's that down from?
I think it was 10 before, but we were talking about his total point cost, and you have to put the teleporter on there. So and sometimes when you're making your army, you may forget it, but you absolutely have to put the teleporter on there to give him his maximum efficiency or effectiveness.
For sure. The Dreadnought teleporter, 10 points in Battlescribe as well. Across the board, I pretty much all the special characters went down. All the Space Wolf special characters went down. All the Dark Angel special characters went down. The Blood Angels ones, like. Pretty much all the Chaos Space Marine ones as well. I don't think Abaddon went down though.
Man, Astaroth being 105 points. I mean, again, you opened up the can to me talk about Blood Angels, but
let's do it.
I'm going to play Astaroth, Mephiston, at least Lamartes, probably, if not another Chaplain, all together. Although Astaroth fills the role of that, but I mean, I'm just be able to fill in like all the buffs on these Blood Angels, and I think they stack up. They're going to stack up pretty well against the meta.
Yeah, dude. And I just like seeing special characters on the board.
Yeah, you get a cool model.
I think it's just good.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm excited about playing Blood Angels competitively again. The brewer in me just cannot wait to get. You know, I'm kind of half joking about 30 Sanguinary Guard. I think the 10 or 20 Sanguinary Guard, and then a bunch of Death Company to be able to leverage that Forlorn Fury when necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, man, the first time I get a Forlorn Fury on somebody, I get a little bit lucky in the beginning, and then I get to clip them with a Death Company that gets to heroically intervene the whole unit. Oh. I'm getting hot over here thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at some of the Dark Angels changes, and I'm pretty excited. I was a bit weird that Talon Masters didn't go down in points. Like, Sammy went down 16 points, but Talon Masters stayed the same. But apart from that, like, all their drops have been pretty great. One thing I really wanted Terminators just across the board to go down, like, two or three points maybe.
Yeah.
Because I like Terminators. I think they are fantastically fun, engaging.
Let's have real talk. Can we talk real talk for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Are you just being overly nostalgic and that's why you like Terminators and you can't get with the Gravis program?
Yes, pretty much. I think they're a cornerstone unit of 40K and they have been so for, 30 years. I don't feel like there's any need to just auto-kick them to the curb. They can have a little heyday before they go out. Come on.
I like Terminator too.
For 6 months.
Space Hulk Terminators themselves and other things. They're other video games too. They look cool on the tabletop. They got lots of cool kits and wonder options. I'm with you. And there isn't like the Gravis. I was joking about Gravis. It doesn't replace the Terminator role.
No, they don't have it. There's no Primaris Terminator equivalent, which I think bodes well for Terminators in the longevity. I think, Aggressors are the kind of their own thing. They're totally their own thing. They're completely anti-infantry. They don't have any anti-mech kind of component apart from their fists in combat. They're toughness 5 with a 3+ rather than toughness 4 with a 2+. They can't deep strike, and they don't have an invuln. I think Terminators fulfill like more of a shock assault role. But yeah, I'd like to see them become like a relevant unit again. Don't need to make them the best. I was joking that they should be the best unit in the game for like 6 months before they die. But just make them a relevant option again. Because like a unit of 10 Terminators, especially third and fourth edition, you'd see a unit of 10 Terminators be like, oh crap, I need to actually figure out how I'm going to deal with that because they could just walk through my whole army. I'd love to have a little bit of that. Like Sangar. Sangar, they've managed to give Sangar this threat. Like you think about it now on the board, you're like, I really need to take that unit into account now, like in my battle plan, in my strategy. I need to worry about that if I see it across the table from
most of that has actually been accomplished though with stratagems. Now I know that a lot of these armies can be hungry, thirsty for CP, and that's not always the answer. I don't know that they're pointed appropriately. Maybe they are. But a lot of that effectiveness from the Sanguinary Guard have come from being able to selectively apply the stratagems when you need it, like the one that lets them smooth out their damage variants, the one that lets them shoot their bolters, their Angelus bolt guns better.
Yep. And then you've got all the layers of synergy that you wanted to bring with them to enhance them. They've all gone down in points as well, like Astaroth. Astaroth going down in points is huge for Sanguard.
Indeed.
All that extra synergy is great. But see, I've got I wanted to be able to play Deathwing Knights in my Dark Angels, and they've gone down 2 points. So I'm going to play them because their models are absolutely friggin' awesome. And I love
the Deathwing Knights. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think they've gone down 2 points a model.
The Deathwing Knights are 33 points base.
33 base.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they don't pay for anything. They don't pay for any there. I think they pay 2 points for the shield. They don't pay for the mace at all. So someone had told me that they went down in points, but yeah,
The Mace of Absolution is 0 points. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that mace is fantastic. That's a 0 point Thunderhammer, guys. It's -2 strength. It's only -2, but it's flat 3 damage with no minus to hit. So they still hit on threes and it's 0 points. You're telling me it's 0 points. Yeah. I'm going to take some of those just cause they're fun and the models are fantastic.
No, they are good. Some of the more beautiful of the Terminators in their color scheme, looks real strong.
This is gorgeous. Yeah. All right. What other factions should we talk about? Where else should this road take us?
Can I talk about Blood Angels some more? Look, I have to admit, I don't even have an Astaroth model right now. I have long since ago carved, I made my Astaroth into a Mephiston.
Shame, Paul. Shame. Shame. I just read something. Has the Sanguinor gone down by 50 points?
The Sanguinor? Straight up, he's not, 50. I don't think he's down by 50. Let's, I'll
This thing I just read says Sengun are down 50 points to starting at 130.
Oh, yeah, that is right. Yeah.
Fair enough. Now that is a gorgeous, timeless model. That model is never going to look bad on the table.
Yeah, agreed. But that's his points are no different than they are in the Psychic Awakening. So that's
cool.
Yeah. So these are all the same. But yeah, he's 130 points. Asrath 105. Yeah. Mephiston 145.
Mephiston at 45 is incredible.
Yeah, and Dante at 150. So that's a big
Dante's job, even Dante's like worth considering. He's I wish he got a new model, but because he's like one of the oldest models in all of the GW current range.
Yep. Well, him and Mephiston are about the same like model.
Yeah, same age.
And Corbulo is still a good. He's that model still holds up. I mean, gosh, just amazing. Just the talent of Jessica
designer.
Yeah, still holding up.
Just jumping. So I did touch on Imperial Knights for a minute.
We don't have to talk about Blood Angels anymore, although I will work it into our conversation.
if you can smoothly segue us back to Blood Angels, you can have it. I'll go with you. Gallants have gone up by 20 points, which I think's not unreasonable. They're what, 350? Yeah, I don't think 20 points is going to break the bank for them. Castellan has gone down by 50 points. I think that's good because they were pretty much unheralded. You never saw them.
So let's talk about the Castellan for a second. They went up by 100. Now they've cut that in half.
Yeah. So it went up by 100, and then it still copped all the nerfs to its stratagems, like the House Raven one, the not being able to get the 3+ invulnerable save, and all the other, and the Tyrannus one being going up and all that stuff. And then it still went up by 100 points. Now it's being cut by 50. I think that's fair. I think it's fair that it comes back down. And I think it's not a terrible unit to take at the moment. Because if there's a model out there that can deal well with Space Marines, like a mechanized Space Marine army, probably a Castellan. As an Iron Hands player, Paul, would you look at a Castellan and be like wary of it? Would you be worried? Like if it goes first, I might just lose a flyer in a tank or
yeah, I think you definitely have to be considerate of that because you are durable, right? But prepare precision is not going to save you from this thing.
Nah, none of it's like it's got Cause Wrath. It's -4, so it's,
+6 feel no pain. You're not going to on your stuff that has 10 wounds. I mean, like the flyers are awesome, but they only have 10 wounds.
Exactly right. The Volcano Lance is -5, isn't it? With 3d3 damage.
Yeah,
it'll say hits on 4s against the flyer because you give you -1. It still gets 4 hits, and they're wounds on 3s or wounds on 2s against them.
Their toughness 7 on the Storm Talons, sorry, the Storm Hawks, and 6 on the Storm Talons.
Yeah, I don't know if they're tough. I don't know if it's strength 14 on it or whatnot. But wounding on 2s or 3s, it's probably get 2 wounds, and you don't get any save, and then it's just 6d3 damage. It just kills it, doesn't it?
It feels like it's dead. It feels like you got to get real super lucky on the Feel No Pains, and then it probably just kills you with that heavy stuff.
It feels like it's toasted. I mean, the Iron Stone does hurt that a lot, because minusing 1 off each of those D3s is actually really significant.
Okay, so the Iron Stone, yes, all right, but the Castellan, I mean, I guess as Devil's thinking about it, it has enough guns to where it's probably going to get through. Because it's got, don't forget about the battle cannons on its shoulders and missiles and stuff. I mean,
yeah. Well, at that point, though, you just be like, well, I can either waste all my shots and maybe not kill that probably repulsory executioner that has the Ironstone, or I just shoot everything else and maybe kill 3 flyers. Surely you just kill the 3 flyers.
Yeah. Like in my list, if you kill 3 flyers, my damage capacity is really depleted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's the Castellan. I mean, you got to think with the other things, like what you would take in that knight list is probably a couple of gallants, and so you just ate up all those point savings that you had before. Yeah.
Well, exactly right. Yeah.
And then it's how you really make the knight list work is not just clicking on 3 knights. It's how you spend those 50 points here, 30 points there. So it would be interesting to see if people can make it work.
All right. What else has changed there? Arcanus Rex has gone down by 50 points. I still doubt I'm going to see him. Armiger's down by 15.
I don't like Canis Rex's
It doesn't make any sense. His gun doesn't make any sense to me, and his rules don't make that much sense either. But Armiger's, man, like, I'm not sure if that's both Armiger's or if that's just the Wargrave or the Hellfiend. It doesn't say on what I'm looking at. But if they've gone down by 15 points, that's pretty good. Like so, Hellfiend, Armiger, Hellfiends are already relevant.
Hellfiend are 155 a piece, and I think that is a little bit of a decrease. And the Warglaives are down to 145 a piece base cost.
Mm, I I like them. I've always rated those little knights for their points. I think they're quite good having an invuln, and the warglaives being so quick. A lot of people used to run like one gallant, two warglaives, or whatnot. Those 15 points reductions completely offset the gallant increase, and then you've got 10 points to spare on top. So I don't think the gallant increase is as big a deal as it might seem.
Yeah, I like the being able to pump out those long range autocannon shots. Damage 3 autocannon shots.
Yeah, they're actually really, really good, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you get consistent flat damage, it should always, whenever you see that in Codex, you should always kind of like perk up and be like, oh, let me see if this is good. Let me see if I can make it work because it's reliable. And now they're a little bit affordable.
So I think the faction I was worried about the most from Chapter Improved was Orcs. I was really worried Orcs were going to get the nerf batted straight into oblivion.
Ten-point boy or something was going to come back.
No, not so much the boys. It's their like cornerstone damage dealers, the shock attack guns, the looters, tank busters, things like that. Things that like you really built your damage around. Unfortunately, I think boys are they're still very good. Like they're still very good, but the Space Marines make them look so bad. Space Marines just have so many shots that are really good against boys, and the Doctrine is just only double down on that. So I was really worried about firstly looters going up because I thought looters is a unit that Orcs really rely upon. I'm not sure if they're 100% necessary in every list, but there's something that they really rely upon. Same as tank busters in a lot of lists.
Looters, 17 points a model for the base cost.
Yeah, I don't think they've been touched, which I'm very happy about.
Yeah.
But on top of that, some things that were on the cusp of being really good, and some players made really good. I remember, I think Steve Pramprine started running his Flashgits list that became really good. Flashgits have dropped 6 points a model. They're actually really good, and their models are fantastic as well. Oh. So that's another perfect marriage.
No, yeah, no doubt. And their guns, the snaz guns?
Yeah, snaz guns. They're like 3-shot neg 3 bolters, heavy bolters, sorry, strength 5 minus 3, 3 shots or something. Maybe they're strength 6. But yeah, I remember them.
Right. They're pretty deadly. They do pretty well against Marines.
Yeah, and I think if they don't move, there's something about them that gives them +1 to hit. It might be they just have a BS4+, or it's if they don't move, they get Git Finders and +1 to hit. And then on top of that, there's another stratagem to give them +1 to hit after something's already done to a wound or something. It might be the freebooters benefit. Once somebody's hit something or done a wound to it, every other freebooters model gets +1 to hit against it. So you can actually make them, I believe, if I'm correct with that, you can make them hit on a 3+. And they're not expensive anymore, guys. They're quite cheap. And so you can put in reserve with the teleporter, or you can put it inside a truck, or put it inside a battle wagon. You can insulate it and keep it safe. You can rot shield it.
I think they can get a medic. They can get like a... Can't they get an apothecary, orc apothecary in the unit?
Yeah, possibly. I'm not quite sure. But there's a lot of ways of making sure you get some value out of those points, which is what I like about when I see a unit that does a good damage output. I'm like, how can I make sure this thing stays alive and actually does stuff? It doesn't just get blitzed off the board turn one.
Yeah, but I haven't seen a flash yet on the table in a long time, so I'm sorry for being rusty on the rules, but they're one of those really nice looking, like you see their heads a lot on other models, but you don't see
other models. Yeah. So there's a couple of things that also have gone down. A lot of the trucks that came out, the little Speed Freaks trucks came out, like rocket truck. What's a rocket truck?
Scrap buggies.
Yep, scrap jet, the copters, the boom dacker, dragsters, and all that stuff. They've all gone down in 20 points, 18 points, 10 points, stuff like that. That's only good. I was really... So it's a weird pattern with Orcs. Like, Orcs have had, I think it's 2 or 3 releases of models where everyone's been really excited. It's like Orctober has come and they're releasing all these models, and they come out and you're like, oh, that's a little disappointing. I think it started with the Morkanaut and the Gorkanaut. Everyone's like, oh, yes, they're going to be like Imperial Knight equivalents. And you're like, nah, they're not even super heavy walkers. They're just vehicles. So you just glance and you just give them a glance and they're useless. And yeah. And then it was the Wazdaka Blaster Jet, whatever it was. And that came out. And everyone's like, oh, this could be good. And I was like, it's all right, I think, maybe.
Well, it got pointed out of being effective. I mean, like the one with the buzz saws on the front of it, the one that can can teleport across the field and stuff. Those are not bad. Like, the rules are pretty good.
How freaking cool are the rules? They're amazing.
Yeah, but when you put it like, hey, that's 500 points. Like, yeah, sorry.
So I played a game against a gentleman who's played one of those teleporting trucks, whatever they are, buggies. And I was like, I was being really clever.
We're doing great. We're doing real great.
What do you mean?
I'm saying with the names and stuff.
the scrap ducker buzz wagon. it's like the bang bang thing.
Jump dragster.
Just get a selection of blades and swords and chuck them together. Like, and you'll get, yeah. So, I wrapped this tank and I didn't know what these things looked like. I was like, oh, yeah, wrap this little buggy. It's not that good in combat. It's got like 3 strength four attacks in combat. I'll just wrap it with some scouts. I'll stay there, no problems. And he was like, you know what that one does? Like, yeah. And I'm like, nope. Does it matter? And he's like, maybe. And he teleports out. And I'm like, you son of a. I wasn't going to change. It was the only thing I could have charged anyway. So I was always going to charge it. But it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I like that.
Killer Cans went down 10 points. That's pretty cool. I love Killer Cans. I think they're funny as.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You mentioned the Gorgonaut and Morgonaut. I think they stayed the same.
Yeah, they have. The Stomper went down by another 50 points. Still not sure. I know Val Heffelfinger, every chapter crew puts out his Pray for the Stomper one, hoping the Stomper will go down to be viable.
It's 800 points.
I know. And it's just like one
excluding
gallant.
Excluding War Gear.
Yeah. One gallant walks up and just goes, I'm going to kick you in the shins until you die, and the gallant wins. It's just, no. Sorry, guys. If that 50 had a 1 in front of it, maybe we're talking, but it doesn't. So, sorry. Another year, Val. Another year.
Yeah, one more. Okay, so let's talk about Necrons. You think Necrons got any benefit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did. I've only heard the Necron stuff said to me from word of mouth, so you're going to have to lead on this one.
Well, Annihilation Barge went down by 10 points.
Good. Actually, sorry, I've just found the Necron changes. Sweet. I haven't looked at these yet. So, Annihilation Barge, as you say, down 10 points. Yeah.
Down by 20 points.
Yep, another one that should have a 1 in front of it, but never mind.
Yeah, the Monolith, it's not what it used to be.
No, it should be, yeah. They're like, it used to be so cool seeing a Monolith on the table. It used to be like, firstly, it's such an imposing thing. Like, it looks cool, it acts cool, the actual rules it has right now are very cool with the whole pick a unit off the table and shoot it back through the Eternity Gate and stuff like that.
Yep.
The problem is, you just kill it. It just doesn't do all that much. I noticed
the Night Scythe. The Doom Scythe is the same. The Night Scythe went down by 20 points.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What about a Ghost Arcs? Did Ghost Arcs get changed? Night Scythe going down is pretty fun, though. Like, Night Scythes are pretty cool. I agree, though. I'm happy the Doom Scythe stayed the same. The Doom Scythe did not need to change.
Ghost Arcs are down by 25 points.
Whoa, really?
For the base.
Wow,
yeah.
that's amazing. That's
sorry,
actually really
I'm sorry, I was saying, I thought you said Doom Scythe there for a second, and I thought, wait, that's not what he's suggest.
Ghost Arcs are fantastic things, I think. They take up a lot of space. They've got a lot of wounds. They put out a good amount of DACA.
They can kind of hose things down, yep.
Well, I just like them as moving, like, walls. Just use them like a moving Aegis defense line. Just block off people. It's a big old baguette thing. How many points are they now? They've gone down 25. What were they starting before?
It's 145 in the chapter approved. Now it's 120.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. 120 for 14 wounds with quantum shielding, with 20 strength 4 minus 1 attacks. It's pretty relevant, especially with the extra healing and stuff. Did their troops go down at all?
Necron Warrior is still 11 points. And then Immortals. Immortals are 8 points, but then you got to buy their gun.
Immortals are fine. Immortals don't need any mutations. Immortals are really good. But I would love to see Warriors on the table again. Big bricks of 20 Warriors. It's so cool.
They're the same points. I don't know that you'll see.
Yeah.
You won't see them any more often. I'll say that.
Nah. They could have dropped a point or two. They probably could have afforded to and still been just as good as they are or quite better. How about the other cornerstone units? They've got Wraiths and Destroyers. This says Wraith went down by 6 points.
Wraiths are 42 points a model.
42. Okay. If they actually did go down 6 points, that's pretty good. Like, Wraiths are already a very, very flexible and good unit. The fact that they've got fly again, they can move through units and stuff. Paul, you can get Wraiths to a 2+ invulnerable save? They're one of the last ways to get 2+ invulnerable in the game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a mate of mine told me about the Nihilak dynasty's stratagem. It's within whenever you're within 3 of an objective marker, you can pay, I think it's 1 or 2 CP and get +1 to your save. It just says +1 to your save. It hasn't been corrected to say armor or whatever.
Yeah, so it's not bad.
Yeah, essentially, if your race Like, so my mate was talking about using a the Deceiver to put a unit of six wraiths on a mid-board objective and just having him sit there with a 2+ invulnerable save and out of line of sight, and who's going to come get him? Like, you know, come have a crack, guys. Do you have Nulls in or Detex? Not too bad. Come, better stay away.
The Necron Lord has dropped 10 points down to 55 points.
Yep, that's good. Did their Overlord, this says Overlord's down 14 as well. That's pretty good as well.
Overlord is at 70 points.
Yeah, he's pretty nice. What about the special characters all went down again too? Like Imatek went down 20 points. Imatek was already an
Imatek, the Stormlord is 140 beast. Points.
Yeah, that's very good for what he brings to the table. The two giving two units, My Will Be Done, the plus one to hit, advance and charge, and on top of that, having his bringing one of the better him being one of the better of the dynasties, plus bringing he adds one CP if he's a warlord, and he comes with a good warlord trait, and he can do the mortal wounds thing, and he kills in combat. Yeah, I think he's for 140. I think he's very. He brings a lot to the table.
Xandrag dropped by 25 points.
Wow, cool. So, what about Oberon? Did Oberon go down?
Oberon is at 115. I think. Yeah, I
think he's the same.
I think that sounds like the same, but I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately.
Because that Xandrag Oberon thing still works. Like that's one of the. It's like the teleport home for custodes, where you can bring a unit in and break the 9-inch thing, and that would be 6 inches away instead of 9 inches away. But with him going down 25 points, maybe that comes back and you bomb over a big unit of flayed ones if they've gone down, or Lich Guard if they've gone down.
Things like the Obelisk have dropped a little bit too, down 30 points. Yeah,
that's cool. That's another model I absolutely love. I think the release J-Dub put out said that the Catan shards were going down a bit as well.
So the Deceiver is 180, which is the same. And I'm sorry, and Nightbringer is dropped. What? Is that the same? Is he 180? Nightbringer dropped. Nightbringer is down to 155 from 180.
That's cool. Yeah. Because to me, they've always been like they've always been comparable to Demon Princes. So I always thought they should be around Demon Prince points because they have like the one psychic power. They're big sticks in combat. Their characters around the same wounds. You can't be charged. Sorry, you can't be shot. Those are some timeless models as well. They tickle all my nostalgia bits.
The Deceiver is down from 225 points down to 180.
He's down 40 points.
Yeah, Oberon and my
Jesus.
Oberon was 140 in the Codex and he's 115.
Wow, but has the Codex gone through 2018's chapter approved as well? So that combo, the Xandrek Oberon combo, has gone down like 60 points.
The Traveler, 167 down from 140. Deceiver is 180 down from 225. Nightbringer, who did get a change in 2018, but he's down to 155. And the Codex, he was 210, so he's gone through two revisions.
Wow, okay, so Necrons.
Zeraz is down to 110 from 143.
Wow, there's a lot of points drops on pretty like key components there for Necrons.
Stormlord dropped 60 points.
Real Imotech went 60 points down.
Yeah, it's a 200 in the Codex.
Oh wow, yeah, that's ridiculous.
But the Orc and the Diviner down to 115, down to 100 from 115, so down 15 points.
Man, like there's so many relevant drops for them. That's cool. I'm very happy to hear that for Necrons. Necrons, I would love to see Necrons be like a upper echelon competitive list and actually have a fleshed out army on the table. Rather than just being like, here's your three Doomsday Arcs, here's your three Doomsights, and then here's just some random stuff.
Relevant changes, like you were just saying.
Yeah, relevant changes to units that were on the cusp of like being in their like their best lists, and now they went from having like one list to maybe they've got three or four like viable builds now, and that's only good. That's only good for the game.
Goss Blaster dropped a couple of points.
Because it was at the stage with Necrons that I wouldn't even look at the list when I get paired with a Necron player. I'm just like, I'm playing Necrons. I know exactly what this army is going to be. It's either going to be this one or it's going to be far worse than this one. So therefore, I don't need to actually look at it. And the tricks are always, all their little jank and all their tricks are very well known now. So them getting all these other plays back, the Deceiver, Orokin, and sorry, Xandrek and Oberon, all this stuff, like Flayed Ones going down, Lich Guard going down. Fantastic. Love it.
Yeah, it looks like there's been some pretty good changes, even the War Gear stuff too. So, you know, like the Heat Ray is down 24 points and
stuff. Sick. Like,
I mean, it's Necrons are gonna get a little bit of life breathed into them.
Who else should we give some love to?
Well, we talked about the Orcs and Necrons. What else do people play? Tau?
Yeah. So I, yeah. Okay. Do I have Tau here? I do actually have Tau. One. So here's one that I love. So Arnvar. For the people who don't play Arnvar, go out and buy Arnvar. He's gone down 15 points. He's now 70, and he was already fantastic.
What makes him good?
So firstly, he's got a lot of wounds. He's got like 6 wounds. So if you try and snipe him, it's actually hard to snipe. He has an inverse armor save. So the more rend you have against him, the better his armor save gets. So he has a 2+, essentially has a 2+ save against rend 3, I believe. Or is it, it's rend 4 gets 2+, and rend 3 gets a 3+. But anyway, apart from that, he gives you 2 of his auras. So he gives you the 6+ feel no pain aura, and then he gives you the reroll 1's auras when you stand still. So he knocks off a lot of your reliance on Marthalites. So you don't need Marthalites anywhere near as enough to take Arnvar, because you can get the 6+ feel no pain and the reroll 1's. He also makes you able to use his leadership of 10 for all your drones, and be able to naturally reroll your morale saves on those drones. So the chance of them popping to morale is much, much reduced. And there's another one or two things he does as well. Let me just quickly pull that up. If you want to jump in and talk about something else they got to change while I look this up.
I just want to talk about shield drones, see if there's any changes there.
Yeah, that'd be big.
Yeah, I mean, if you can reduce the number of... If they were reduced to the number of shield drones that one could have in an army.
Okay, so... Yep, everyone gets to use Arnvar's leadership because it's an ethereal. The paradox of duality. When this unit is attacked during the shooting phase, it may add rather than subtract the AP of the attack to its save characteristic. AP negative 1 attack would provide a plus 1 to his save, and he starts with a 5+. So minus 3 would be a 2+ save. So that's pretty cool. And whilst he's on the battlefield, all Tau Empire units can reroll morale checks. So that's everybody across the board. In the entire army, doesn't need to be within range of him. And then, he gets 2 of the invocations. So we can reroll 1's in the shooting phase if you remain stationary. If you're playing a Tau Castle, there's a high chance you will be, even if you're playing like one of the more maneuverable armies with the 3 commanders and the Riptides and stuff. There still might be 1 or 2 turns where you stand still. And then he has the 6+ feel no pain, and or you can reroll the advanced dice for the turn for affected units. Now, I actually really like the reroll the advanced one. Because there's that turn when you Modcar and you want to get from, like, if you want to start controlling the middle of the board and you want to go for that advance and then still get to shoot with all your stuff, the reroll advance is actually pretty cool. It actually adds quite a bit. Some of the stuff that I've seen that actually went down that I actually quite like, Kroot went down by a point. I think they're 4 points per model now.
They are 4 points per model, yep.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Like, they come with a bolter, man. They come with a 24-inch strength 4 gun. And they're 4 points a model.
They got some deployed shenanigans. I mean, they could add something to the army.
Yeah, they're not terrible. They're not terrible. I was saying to some mates, I wish I could put them in a Devilfish. If I could just have like 5 units of Kroot and 5 Devilfish, and just that would be just be a really flexible list. Kroot Carnivores, yeah, movement 7, weapon skill 3. They hit on 3s in combat, 4s from shooting, strength and toughness 3, 1 wound, 1 attack, leadership 6 and a 6+ save, and they're stealthy at the start of the first battle round. Before the first turn begins, this unit can move up to 7 inches. It can't end up within 9 inches of enemy models. So that is quite good for first turn, bumping back deep strikers and whatnot.
They can't take damage though. I mean, they will wilt under fire.
They fold. But I mean, it's the same. It's the same as a lot of other things in that range, in that points bracket. Like cultists, dude. Cultists are 2 points more expensive. Sorry, 1 point more expensive than these guys. Guards are 1 point more expensive. Termagants are the same points. Grots are around the same points. So they're now in that range. I think they're pointed to where they should be for how easy they are to kill. Storm Surge was a huge winner out of this. I did some pricing up and talking to some mates last night, and we're not quite sure, but we think the Storm Surge has gone down to 60 to 70 points, and that's with taking all his best options. That's the best cannon, which I can't remember if it's the blast cannon or the driver cannon, whichever one was the better one. The 2 burst cannons, the 4+ invuln, early warning override, and the ATS. And it's, I think it's 350 or 360 points now. So it's quite, actually.
Oh, that's not bad. It's got a ton of wounds. Well.
Yeah, I think it's 350 points. And the good thing about that is it's not even, you take 3 of them, it's not even half your army.
Does it benefit from the saver protocols and stuff too?
No, we can't. It's a vehicle, not a battle suit or an infantry vehicle.
Fair, okay. Yeah.
But if you take him with that list, you don't take any drones. If you do take drones, you take gun drones and you deep strike them. But that's when you take things like long strike, take things like strike teams in Devilfish. You go more mech heavy. You don't take any drones at all. And so you just completely pivot away and go into other stuff. And so that's really relevant. If that breeds new life into other tower builds, I think that's fantastic.
But that's a big question, though. What did the drone's point change?
Yeah, let us know. Did they?
Well, what is a drone? What is the shield drone variant and points right now?
Every drone right now is 10 points a model. Like gun, shield, and the other ones.
Like marker drones and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they're all 10 points up.
So the marker drone is 10 points, missile drone 20, shield drone is 10, the MV-52 shield drone is 11. The drones are basically, I think they're basically the same.
Yeah, looks like they're the same. Did you have a look at, so did you say the missile drones are 20 points? And that's is that the shielded missile drone?
The shielded missile drone is 25 points.
Okay, so that's that makes sense.
I think that's the same.
I think they can only be bought along with Riptides. You buy the shield missile drone. So maybe you can get it with broadsides as well. So I think piranhas went down a couple of points, if I'm correct. And I actually don't mind piranhas because they add something to the list that it doesn't have otherwise. They're like the cheap skimmer unit that doesn't need that they can't use saver protocols, so they just jump around and get objectives. They're not especially killy, but they've got two burst cannons and they take a fusion.
They have drones too, you can put on there, right?
Yeah, and they get the drones. So you chuck a unit of three of them on an objective, and unless they walk up and put stuff on the objective, they can't actually shoot you off it. It takes six instances of shooting to kill that unit. So, it can take four, but you got to shoot one thing at it that's going to kill the three pathfinders. And then you got to be able to allocate to three other things to kill three units of two drones. Now that becomes pretty wonky for people to actually take off. You might be giving up in ITC, you might be giving up Killmore or Gangbusters or whatever for them, but they're very, very good at getting your hold more, really, really good at getting your hold more. Because they're actually hard to dislodge off an objective unless they come to run up and take it back from you. So I like them for looking at like they're things you can jump off to onto an objective that's outside of cover. Like it's something you can't hide a unit on, and you just chuck them on there, and you're like, oh yeah, well you got to shoot, you got to allocate enough shooting to kill the pathfinders, so to kill the piranhas, and then have enough left to allocate to kill the drones as well. And it becomes a wonky exchange for your opponent.
Like you're wrestling with a 65 point unit.
Yeah, well, exactly right. And who gives a stuff? Even if you do, you're like, you've just wasted all this shooting up that hasn't gone into drones, hasn't gone into Riptides or whatever. Now, so for me, when I think about Tau, I don't think about Riptides. I don't think about Commanders or Hammerheads, right? I always think the first thing that comes to mind is Crisis Suits. Are they good yet?
Oh, that's a very good question. So let me check them out. So I'm going to the Crisis Suits right now. Oh, please stand by. The book shut on me.
No worries. Also, I'm just looking here. It says here stealth teams have gone down by 6 points, starting at 14 points a model. And then you buy they can buy one system and then a burst cannon or a fusion. And man, at 14 points, they got two wounds, toughness four. Is it three up or four up armor? I think it's a three up armor. And they're minus two to hit at 14 points a model. That's freaking good, guys. That's good. That's like good.
The crisis suits are 24 points model base.
Yep. And do you have. So that's, I mean, just to my ear, that sounds like it's gone down. And people have told me they've gone down, but I don't know by how much. I'm hoping, like, 24 points, and what's that? That's three toughness, five wounds that hit on a 4+ with a 3+ armor. That's not terrible, but, I mean, I guess then you have to pay for all this. You've got one system and then two or three guns you can get on it. So they're still going to end up being pretty expensive. Where's the worst cancer?
Crisis Suits, they dropped, it was 3 points a model they dropped.
Okay. ATS dropped by 2 points. Is that true? ATS has dropped by 2 points a model. It's six one? Points now instead of eight. Advanced targeting system for the I think it used to cost 8 points and now it costs 6 points.
Yeah, it's 18 points.
It's 18. Is that'd be 18 points on the big stuff? Is there another one?
Yes, there is. On all of them, are 6 points.
So that's gone down 2 points, I believe. If that's gone down, that's a points increase. Yeah, that means like every good model in the Tower Codex has gone down by at least 2 points, because that's Riptides take that, Broadsides take that, Crisis Suits take that.
Riptides pay the 18 points for it.
Of course, yeah, Riptides pay the 18. Yeah, that's fair, as they should. But yeah, that's relevant. That's a good decrease, especially, so that means that's another 2 points you can knock off the Stealth Suits. So they were 14 points, and then they paid 8 points for their Burst Cannon, and then you would have had to have paid another 8 points for the ATS. But if you're only paying 6 points now, that's a net gain of, how much did they reduce by if they went down from 20? So net gain of 8 point reduction on the actual, on the unit per model in the unit. That's That's freaking good. I've always liked them.
The game has changed. That's it. Yeah. As soon as this book goes live, a multitude of new builds are viable.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Tau enthusiast, but I just love that Chapter Approved shakes things up. And every year it makes, like, you see people get to experiment again every year. Everyone gets kind of into these two or three builds, like a good army, good faction in 40K. Has like three or four viable builds that you can play.
Yeah.
But usually one clear winner. When Chapter Approved comes out, it reshuffles that. And I love that it does that. It's very good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think that's all we'll cover right now. Well, next week, let's talk about Harlequins.
Oh, yes.
All the Eldari faction. And then we haven't touched
We haven't touched Eldar at all. And I think they're good. I think there's some cool stuff there. Oh, so yeah, it's cool.
You can't keep Eldar down. That's a...
yeah, they got to be bad for like literally like 2 or 3 months, and now they're going to be amazing again, probably. Yeah,
but I want to look at the Harlequins. I want to look at the Forge World stuff. I mean, there's been some change, some shifts. We haven't talked about the Legends rule that's finally going into effect.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Tyranids or GSC either. So there's a whole another super faction there.
There's a lot to cover. I mentioned that we could do a bonus episode last week. We didn't get to it, so that's why this episode is longer than it would normally be. So I hope everyone forgives us for not having a double episode. But this is almost like a double episode.
How long did we go for? This seems chunky.
Over an hour and a half.
Awesome.
Yeah. So good. That's it, man. Adam, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it, especially in the middle of your day like this. And hopefully we get
anytime,
you back next week. Keep on.
I hope I didn't talk too fast for everybody. I get a little bit excited, pretty passionate about this stuff.
Especially about Necron Doomsides or whatever.
Yeah. And that's Joestarks, I think I launched into.
That's right.
thank you so much for having me on, Paul. Always a pleasure, my man.
Have a good night. We'll talk next week.
See everybody.